world. I'm John Baxter, Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, and he teaches law at the University of Chicago and NYU. And over the years, Richard and I have enjoyed observing Supreme Court decisions in terms of the politics of the moment. We have spoken of the Roberts Court 100 years from now, but let's be very specific to the term during the pandemic just concluded. 65 cases is the reporting I'm following at NBC News. 65 cases. 39 of those were decided by 9-0 or 8-1. That would suggest, of course, the Supreme Court is like-minded for the majority of the times. There are, and these cases included, four government wins over immigrants, a defeat for the Ford Motor Company, a win for California motorists. In other words, helter skelter. The one that I liked is the NCAA. is no longer shielded from any trust claims brought by college athletes, and the NCAA lost 9-0. That's a rout in basketball. Now, it is true that there are controversial cases. So, Richard, I appeal to you. I'm the amateur. You're the professional. Controversial cases, do they make the best moments to decide what a court is when the case is 6-3 or 5-4? Or is that flip of the coin time and we need more history?
No, look, I think, in fact, it's a legitimate type of concern. The cases that you're talking about are going to come out the same way because pretty much there is no political voltage associated with it. So the correct measure trying to figure out consensus is what you do is you put a heat index before each of the particular cases, and then what you do is you ask whether or not the really hot cases are 6-3 or 5-4, and if they are, then it turns out that's the set that you want to look at, and that's where the selection of the justices goes. This is the way the political system does it. There's no question when somebody comes forward and you're going to ask them what's going on, you're going to get the following response. We care about campaign financing and First Amendment freedoms, and that's a big issue. We care about abortion and the various elements that go with that. We care about affirmative action and all the things that start happening with that. We care about religious freedom and the things that are happening about that. And we care about American labor cases. And if you start looking at the areas in which there's a disagreement, those are the ones where it's going to be. You're not going to see that kind of disagreement with respect, at least today, the antitrust cases being done on the traditional situation. You will see it come up if the new wave of antitrust statutes that's now in the Congress get passed and they have very different applications of the antitrust rules from the ones that we faced. That will trigger the progressive liberal split on the one side as against the conservative and libertarians on the other side. So I think you do it. So you're trying to figure out what are the two most controversial cases of this term in that metric. Well, one of them is surely the voting rights case.
Right.
Where the American leftist cannot basically conceal its hatred and contempt with respect to going on. And the second, a little bit less controversial but very important, is the case having to do with the question in Cedar Point as to whether or not union representatives have a right to stay on employer properties for the purposes of organization, where it was again 6-3 saying that they did not. So those two cases are 6-3 cases, and they're really very, very important.
All right, I want to ask about the Voting Rights Act. This is Arizona.
Yes.
Because I recall, you know, I'm old enough to remember when Citizens United was the hot button to do with a voting. I think it was as recent as 2010. It was the Roberts Court. And we were told the end of the solar system, not really the planet, the end of the solar system until that was corrected. It involved the president of the United States wagging his finger at the Supreme Court. What happened to it, Richard? Where did it go? Is it out of fashion?
Well, I mean, look. No, it turns out that the majority had a very strong opinion. It was Justice Scalia, the guy who messed up other cases, wrote a particularly good concurrence, and Justice Kennedy, I think, wrote the majority opinion. The point about political speech, and I wrote this some years ago, is most corporations have no desire to engage in it. The reason is that if you say something that's particularly controversial, the people who agree with you won't flock to your products. But if you say something that's controversial, the people who disagree with you will flock to somebody else's products and organized boycott.
I'm observing how that used to be the fashion of the argument. Citizens.
Well, then what happens is
it disappeared momentarily, at least, or both sides now engage in what you'd have to say is creative fundraising.
It turns out that's a different part of the campaign finance laws. But yes, these PACs and Medicaid give you enormous loopholes. The Democrats take advantage of them every bit as much as Republicans, so you can't find much on that thing. But in terms of the speech restrictions, the only organizations that really care about this are the AFL-CIO and the Chamber of Commerce. Why is that? Because they're not firms, and so they don't face retribution if they get themselves involved in these political campaigns. But the reason this issue did not lead to the end of the Republic in any way was because it turns out that corporations are not really very keen to engage in political speech. And if you look at it, Citizens United was not a real corporation that makes goods and services. It was simply a little film company which was organized to attack Hillary Clinton in one of its documentaries. And if you think that that's going to be representative of the way in which corporate America, woke corporate America, I might say today, is going to behave, it was delusional even at the time that it went. And now the fear is if corporations get involved in politics and they're beginning to do so, it's all on the left side of the spectrum, not the right. So, 10 years tends to lead to very strange types of coalitions.
I wonder, in 10 years from now, will anybody be talking about who is going to bake a cake for what? And will anybody be talking about the voting rights in a state in the southwest of the United States? In other words, are these cases important because it's fashion, or are these cases important because it defines the Roberts Court? We have a couple of
points. I mean, let me just take them in order. If you start looking at the Arizona case,
we have two minutes, Richard. Okay,
so there were two provisions that were involved. One of them talked about voting harvesting by somebody going out and collecting votes, and the other talked about voting in the wrong precinct. The wrong precinct issue is just not a big issue because it happens maybe one time in 100. And they're slightly different rates. So what the Senate said is this is a disparate impact because it's the difference between 0.05 and 1%. A more accurate way of looking at it is on the other side by saying it's 99 versus 99.5%. That's the kind of reliability you never want to challenge in these situations. And then the Voting Rights Act, when it talks about the totality of circumstances, presumably leaves some room to take into account anti-fraud devices. And if you have multiple legal ways in which you could harvest and collect votes without going to the polls, why do you want to let the most suspect ways start to take place? And so I thought Justice Alito had clearly the better of the argument on that case than the other one. Now, the religious freedom case, I think that's got more legs associated with it. There's a huge split between the conservatives who say, please leave us alone to run our own businesses, and the liberals who say, the moment you put up a shingle that you're open to the public, you have to serve us in exactly the way that we want. That issue is not going to go away, in my judgment. And in fact, poor Jack Phillips continues to be assaulted. My position remains clear on that case. If you don't like the way Mr. Phillips do business, go down the block 100 yards and get your cake from somewhere else. Don't beat the man up to a pulp and force him out of business by making him choose between his religious conscience on the one hand and the ability to conduct an ordinary business on another. He's not a common carrier, and so for heaven's sake, since you have a multiple of other choices, don't do it. The left really takes after that issue because they believe anybody who does anything in the public space gets no protection from whatever laws they wish to impose upon them.
We will continue our conversation about the Roberts Court. 100 years from now, how will history remember the Roberts Court? Is it conservative? Is it not conservative? Is it confused? Is Mr. Roberts a chameleon? All these questions will be raised over the next 100 years. It's great fun to talk to Richard about it. Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.